Melville fell asleep without a murmur, as he usually does when his mama isn't there. He knows that with Papa the lullabies are not as soft and the hugs not as warm, so he doesn't expect too much. To keep myself awake until she gets home, I read. The story of a novelist-turned-detective who discovers that a novelist-turned-murderer did not actually write the novel that made him want to become a novelist. After twist upon twist, I find out that the novelist-turned-murderer did not actually murder anyone. Much ado about nothing. My phone, lying on my bedside table, buzzes. I read the text. Hey, everything okay? Are you at home? I don't want to be disturbed. I hate those text messages that don't really say anything. I don't reply. Everything okay? Are you safe? What's that supposed to mean, safe? I put the book down and rush to the living room on tiptoes. Do not wake the baby. I grab the remote. The box of horrors takes forever to come on. Live terrorist attack at the Stade de France. The images tell me nothing. I think about Hélène. I should call her, tell her it would be a good idea to take a taxi home. But there is something else. In the corridors of the stadium, some people stand frozen in front of a screen. I do not see the images on that screen, only the expressions of the people's faces. They look appalled. They are watching something that I can't see, not yet. Then, at the bottom of my screen, the news on the ticker that slides past too fast suddenly stops. The end of innocence. Terrorist attack at the Bataclan. The sound cuts out. All I can hear is the noise of my heart trying to burst out of my chest. Those five words seem to echo endlessly in my head. 1 second lasts a year. A year of silence, sitting there on my couch. It must be a mistake. I check that that is where she went. Maybe I got it mixed up or forgot, but the concert really is at the Bataclan. Hélène is at the Bataclan. The picture cuts out. I can't see anything now, but I feel an electric shock go through my body. I want to run outside, to steal a car, to go out and look for her. The only thing in my head now is this burning sense of urgency. Only movement can put out those flames. But I am paralyzed because Melville is with me. I am trapped here, condemned to watch as the fire spreads. I want to scream, but it's impossible. Do not wake the baby. I grab my phone. I have to call her, talk to her, hear her voice. Contacts. Hélène, just Hélène. I never changed her name in my contacts list, never added my love or a photo of the two of us. Neither did she. The call she never received that night was from Antoine L. It rings out, goes to voicemail. I hang up. I call again. Once, twice, 100 times. However many it takes. I feel suffocated by this couch that seems to be swallowing me up. The whole apartment is collapsing in on me. At each unanswered call, I sink a little deeper into the ruins. Everything looks unfamiliar. The world around me fades. There is nothing left but her and me. A phone call from my brother brings me back to reality. Hélène is there. In the moment when I pronounce these words, I realize there is no way out. My brother and sister come to our apartment. No one knows what to say. There is nothing to say. There is no name for this. In the living room, the TV is on. We wait, eyes riveted to the 24-hour news channels, which have already begun competing to come up with the most lurid, grotesque headline, the one that will keep us watching. Spectators to a world that is falling apart. Massacre, carnage, bloodbath. I turn off the TV before the word slaughter can be uttered. The window on the world is closed. Reality returns.